You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey everybody, hey, yeah baby, are you ready? Oh, oh. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Get Tucked podcast. I am your host, Tuck. How you been? Me? Feeling pretty good. It's been awesome. We went out, we did a headliner, it was great. Thank you to everybody who came out to see a show. Thank you to Silent Planet, Hollow Front, and Avoid for going out and doing the tour. It was a blast. We haven't gotten to play with Silent Planet since like 2017, so that was great. Hollow Front and Avoid, didn't really know them too well beforehand, and it was really nice to get just sit and pick their brains for a month and a half. A bunch of lovely folks, really had a great time, and like I said before, thanks if you came to see a show, particularly the Palladium show. Woo, buddy. What a night that was. Lots of pool floaties. Lots of mosh, lots of crowd surfing. It was great. Some other fun news. Featured X has been sold again. We have been sold to a company called Friendable. So far, they have been awesome to work with. I've really enjoyed it. These guys have a lot of experience, and we have a very common vision of how we want the site to run in the future. First and foremost, we are working on a rebuild, and I'm super stoked. Everything is going great so far, so we will see how it works in the future. But for now, thank you for your patience with that. If you ever have any issues, please holler at your boy, tuck@beaconmanagementgroup.com. Hit my email. Let's talk. Okay, this week on the show, we have none other than Trey Celaya. Trey has recently joined Fit for a King as our new drummer. He filled in on guitar and drums for us numerous times over the years and just felt like the perfect person for the team. We're so lucky to have him in our lives, and it was a pleasure to get to absorb some of his musical history firsthand here with the show. Trey is one of the sweetest, most thoughtful individuals that you will get to know. He often makes me feel like the devil, because he is such a good person and I can be such a monster on tour at times, or just in general. I shouldn't just say on tour, it's just a daily thing that I am a little troll man and it is fun. But seriously, Trey is a shit. Vin Anime rules. Screamo forever. All hail metalcore. Thanks for going to the tour. Dark Path tour was a great success. Here we go. My episode with Trey Celaya of Fit for a King and Invent Animate.
Everlong, I waited here for you. Everlong.
Travis Alfonso Celaya III. How the fuck you doing?
I'm good as frick.
Dude, that's good. Thanks for being here today and officially getting tucked. How does it feel to get tucked?
It feels good. I've been wanting to get tucked for a while.
I've been wanting to tuck you for a while.
Ever since I heard the theme song.
Yeah, we're looking at Dan right now, and Dan was a real beast on that one. He made it very sexual.
I didn't know Dan did that until today.
Yeah. Yeah, I made, for everyone listening, I made a very crappy acoustic version and sent it to Dan, and he made it awesome, and then I screamed on it. But Trey, how you thinking we looking? Should we up the signal here a little bit? I think we're all right. We won't hear the generator. Everyone, we're on the bandwagon. We're not trying to create too much noise, but here we are on the Dark Path tour, and I've been putting this off for a while, but here we are, finally getting tucked again. Trey, not only thanks for being on the show, but thanks for joining the fucking band, guy.
It's my pleasure.
It's pretty cool. I'm very excited about it. I would say most people are pretty excited. Probably not Reddit, though, because Reddit,
Reddit probably, they don't like my band anymore, and or our band, and they love your other band.
Maybe some of Reddit doesn't like it. I don't know. When I announced it, I didn't really see any negative things.
Not me neither.
Everyone was all just like, this is cool.
Well, yeah, usually people would say it's pretty cool for you to join the greatest metalcore band of all time. Band that's superior to most, possibly even the Killswitch Engages, the August Burns Redses, the any sorts of Alexandrias. Some people might say that Fit for the Kings is the greatest band of all time, let alone metalcore band, but I won't really go that far because there's Chumbawamba and some really good artists that have been on Earth before.
There's Dave Matthews Band.
Have you ever seen Dave Matthews Band live?
No, I just know that they poured poo-poo on people.
They poured poo-poo on people?
Yeah.
How? How did they pour poo-poo on people?
They emptied their bus poo-poo onto some people that were like floating down a river. Or like they were gondolaing, I think.
They dumped their poo-poo into a gondola river? They dumped
their poo-poo over a little bridge into a river onto some people.
That's amazing.
I think they had to pay a big fine.
That's super cool, though. I would not want to be covered in Dave Matthews' poo-poo. But I did see them live once, and it was really good.
I only know the song Crash Into Me. I can't name
Crash Into Me.
I can't name even one more song.
Not me neither. Dave Matthews' Band is like not as fun Pearl Jam. But good live band, though. Good times. Great oldies. But Trey, fuck Dave Matthews Band. They're a bunch of piece of shit motherfuckers. And Dave, if you hear this, fuck you. Fuck your family. I don't even like you, guy. Okay? But for the people that know Trey and didn't know me, I'm sorry for the vulgar language. I'm just really trying to like shake this thing off and get back into it. But firstly, let's take it back before we talk about how you got into Fit for the Kings. We got to get to how we met, and you ended up in that fucking band. So, Van Anime. Mm-hmm. When I joined Fit for a King, I remember just a lot of the guys from the area. Particularly, I remember like Hunter Ollie. He filled in for a show for you guys. And he was like friends with us. And I remember we all went to a show and saw you guys play with Hunter playing guitar. And around that time, just there was a lot of buzz. And I remember seeing a lot of people like in the Texas area wearing your guys' merch. And I would say that you guys were like the buzz band of the time when I was joining Fit for a King.
Really?
In my opinion, that's just, you know, that's what
that's
I would
cool.
say.
I never really was aware of that, if that was a thing. I guess we were like, I think maybe more of what it was when Invent was kind of coming up, there were like no metalcore bands. Like Houston entirely was just like slam, like, you know, down tempo stuff.
Yeah. And there was like the beginning of I Am and like bands kind of.
I don't even know if they were around yet. There was probably like not. A band we played with a lot was called, there was this band called Rex, another one called Fane. They were just like super heavy bands. What you need up here, Jordan? Ardaro.
Hi, Jordan. You gotta say something.
Hey, guys. Oh, cool. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, you're good.
Oh, it's okay. What are you doing, dude?
I was checking to see if Brian had some times on the wall since we have such a long voyage tonight.
Yeah. I don't know. I think so. Yeah, we're going couple hours to another part of Illinois.
Basically I think there were so few bands in our scene. We felt like one of the only metalcore bands. There were a lot of situations where we were the only band with singing that played a show, like kind of growing up in Texas.
That makes a lot of sense.
So that might be why.
There's a lot of like beat ass riff bands that come from Texas, especially like the Kublai Khan thing was hot. And maybe I'm predating the I Am thing, but eventually I Am.
We played a few shows with Kublai Khan. Always felt stupid because like we would have singing and then they would have people just fight each other during the set.
Oh yeah,
you know, so
that's pretty neat.
We were the odd ones out.
Well, you guys were like pretty boy metalcore. Everyone was like looking swaggy, and you know,
pretty
you guys
boy
had
swag.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. And you know, Van Anime is a, you know, a pretty out there band name. I gotta know, how'd you come up with Van Anime? For everyone listening, I call the band Van Anime. It's in Van Anime, obviously, but come on.
Yeah. Van Anime. The name came from... literally started it out of high school. Me and a friend just... We were there were a lot of like verb the noun names at the time, and then there were a lot of like gent names that were coming out around the same time, which we were really
inside. I would describe those as like a structures or a Viljarta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just noun. Yeah. Just single noun. Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, what two words sound cool together? Like, we came up with invent something. And then I don't know. It's almost like a thing that in my head I think of it as like the Devil Wears Prada. Like, none of those guys probably think that name is cool. They probably all think it's cringe, but it has like a ring to it, you know.
And I don't want to say it, but I love the name the Devil Wears Prada. Wait, what were the words again? You told
it
us.
It says good evening.
I always wanted to be the singer in The Devil Wears Prada, just so everyone listening knows.
Dude, there's almost no thought or depth that went into it. It was just like we were 17 and we're like, these words sound cool, you know, had never played a show in our lives. And yeah, when we made that and branded everything and whatever, we had never played a show.
Had you guys ever been in bands before, period? Or was this your first band?
Invent was my first band ever.
No way.
Ever, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you started it?
17.
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah, to think about first band. My first band ever was... I was 14 or 15. But I had quite a few bands. But it makes sense that you would only ever have one band, because you guys are all like good boys. And I feel like you have a pretty strong relationship together. So it makes sense you guys would just kind of make something and stick together.
Yeah. Very originally, there were a few different members, like Caleb and Keaton came like a little later, maybe like a year later.
So did you start the band, or how did things go about?
Me and our old vocalist, Ben English, started it.
That married fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Ben. If you listen to this, I hope you're doing well. I think he had a baby, right? Yep,
got a
baby. Hey, his dad now. That's awesome. Got a baby. Babies are cool.
I'm soon to join the married club with him. So, and all the fit guys are married.
That's what we do over here. Now, here's an interesting point that kind of struck me was... that you started Invent and Jared started Fit, but then you guys did a swap.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like maybe there's a metaphor there.
Yeah.
You know.
Evolution, if you will.
Like whatever you give create to.
Create to destroy.
Whatever you invent, animate, you are bound to leave.
You invent.
Whatever you invent and animate, you are bound to leave and abandon.
And then you join a country band.
Yeah, some of us join country, some of us join metalcore.
Here's the thing. The other cool thing about, you know, people will be like, wow, Jared joined country. Jared is playing a show on 420, co-headlining with Snoop Dogg. Okay, guys? That's pretty damn cool. So, it may not be as cool as breakdowns and metalcore, but I'll give it to him.
Yeah, I don't think any metal band can say that they've done that.
I don't think so.
Nobody's been able to play a show on 420 with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I don't even know if there was to be one who it could be. But maybe like Attila. But like they're not popular enough. Not to say that they're not a popular band, but like, you know, Ko and Snoop are like drawing big monster numbers.
Is there any metal band that has enough of a weed identity to do that?
I don't think so. I can't think of one. But maybe that would be pretty cool. But back to your band name. So that's interesting. I like I guess when it comes to being young and thinking of band name, you're just trying to find something that's cool. You're not really necessarily trying to have like the deepest meaning. And I think that's a good thing, where I remember listening to an interview with Thrice where someone had asked them about why their band name was Thrice. And they're like, well, we were doing a battle of the bands at school and we needed a band name and we didn't have one. So we came up with Thrice because it just happened.
I think it's a sick name.
It's a sick name. And the guys from It's Always Sunny also recently revealed to everyone that they're not actually Thrice fans. If you were curious, go listen to their new podcast because it's great. Because there's Thrice stickers all in the early couple seasons in the bathroom and shit.
Yeah.
But I love Thrice. That's enough.
And to be... I guess to be clear, I don't think Invent Anime is a bad name.
Not at all.
It's just hard. It's really hard to verbally communicate. Like, I don't think I've ever once said my band name and someone got it the first time, which is a horrible oversight.
That makes sense.
Because everyone here is anime. Everyone immediately is like, anime?
Yeah, and... to clarify, the reason why I call it Van Anime and other people in Fitbreaking may also do that is because there was someone at one point who was in the camp who every time that someone would mention Invent Anime, he would go, Van Anime? And it just always sounded like Van Anime.
You guys talking about Van Anime?
Yeah, so now it's just stuck ever since. It's been years.
Yeah. The first time I think I heard it was, I think JB from August Burns Red said that, because it was it was the same situation, because I told him I was filling in for Era on that tour I did with you guys and ABR headliner, and he asked my band name and I said
Frozen Flame Tour, I think it was called,
like 2015 I think. I told him my band's name and he said Van Anime. And just like, he was joking, but I think he also didn't really hear, so he just went with that forever.
See, people would think that's a joke. I have a van band. Offered minivan. Yeah. You know, so it's like, I'm offended, honestly. I think every person that's ever said Van Anime, including myself, is a bastard.
It's carcist. It's racist against cars. Vans.
Wow. I've never thought about that, but that makes sense. But vans are good because you can put a lot of people in them.
It's the only way that metalcore works.
With a van. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of which, I've seen a lot of tweets lately of people's vans blowing up. And then I saw other people giving some advice on how to avoid that. And the answer is credit and getting a better van. And that sucks. And it's really hard. Most people don't have, like, a parent or someone that can like co-sign for them, but boy howdy, let me tell you, that is the thing that will save you so much time and money rather than buying a van every year and a half as they explode.
Yeah, put all your gas on a credit card and pay it off monthly.
Now, how does it feel to actually be back on tour? I know it was certainly a weird adjustment at first. Now I feel normal again, especially after last night.
You mean like post-pandemic?
Yeah, just like in general, us going back to work and shit.
It's good. I think it's, I think during the pandemic, I had a ton of like perspective changes in life. And it doesn't feel... I think initially when touring got kind of like taken away from everyone, it kind of just like fricked up my sense of identity, because
absolutely
I couldn't really define myself as like a tour band guy anymore, because that wasn't what was happening for 2 years. And so I am still that guy, but I just don't think of myself that way. And I think I get through the day with other values in mind.
Accolades are like things that, you know. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, values.
But at the same time, I'm like, I'm also very grateful to be back, and I like now I just keep wanting to like, get better, and I want things to grow. Like I've learned a lot about sound while we were not touring and stuff like that, so I've become a little bit more of a gear nerd in a weird way, just like trying to figure out. I used to know nothing about drums, and now I'm like figuring out how to tune my drums well and like pick the kinds of woods I want and what kind of hoops and cymbals and, you know.
And you're doing like front of house work when you're at church at home and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So that helps a lot too, or in like mixing stuff. And like I've definitely heard the, you've shown me demos for Invent stuff that all sounds pretty dummy good.
Thank you.
So that's sick.
Yeah, I guess it's, I guess what I'm trying to say is nowadays I try not to put so much stock in it that
it does become a large part of your identity.
If I
so that
can't
makes sense.
Do it, it like doesn't cripple me. You know what I mean? Because it kind of did for a while.
Oh, same. I think most of us feel that way when you've done something consistently for now. It's creeping up on eight years for me next month to be in Fit for a King, which is pretty cool. But it's pretty crazy to I do agree with you and to think about how much of an identity crisis we all did go through when first having the pandemic start. And you know, there are just so many changes that we've all been through where, like, for instance, you had already filled in for the band and stuff. But I guess if you told me at the beginning of the pandemic that you would now be the drummer of Fit for a King after the pandemic, I would be stoked on it because I love being around you. But at the same time, I wouldn't have expected it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have Jared on at some point so everyone can kind of get the story from his perspective as well, because for everyone listening, like, we, even before coming here on the tour, we all stayed at Jared's house. We're all still super close. Like, there's no bad blood or animosity or anything like that. If anything, we were just super stoked for him that he's with Co. And the way that we ended up, I guess, being around Trey has just been like years of interaction. So what you first mentioned was where we met, which was the Frozen Flame tour, at least for you and I. You had known the band already, I think.
Yeah, there might have been like a one-off show that we played. I think you were in the band by this point. That
well, wasn't that the show that Hunter played guitar
in, like, Springfield?
Yeah
that was probably it, because we all went to like a Steak and Shake after and hung out, and that's where I like actually met y'all.
Okay.
And then we toured again, I think.
Yeah,
that
makes
sense. Tour.
Yeah, and you were filling in playing bass for Era.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because now you have just played... So, you've played bass for Era, you've played guitar for us. Did you play guitar for Silent Planet ever?
No,
with them.
I was, I've done, like, some studio stuff with them, just, you know, very soft. I say that softly, low-key.
And it's funny, I think... Fast forwarding time, so eventually after the Frozen Flame tour we get to do the After the Burial Emir co-headliner, right? That was the one that Invent was on.
Yeah.
And that's when we all got to like hang out for real. Ben was still in the band, and I think Invent has such an interesting pathway as a band, because you've always been one of those bands that I think you're a band's band and a fan's band, where instrumentalists, people that are music nerds, like your band because it's very technical, but it also has the ability to be very catchy, maybe not as commonly as some of the extreme djent acts. So I like the fusion of your djent to metalcore aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely makes it much more digestible for someone like myself, who is a very like 4/4 standard give me the hook person.
Yeah. And I think even as a lot of us in Invent get, as our kind of, as we evolve and whatever, we sort of want that too, like a little bit of a release or just a break, you know, for like when we're listening to just insane techie stuff. Just be like, all right, let's kind of chill and sing for a bit, because we also like that and think that's cool.
But yeah, no need to do it 24/7. But when you guys first were jumping onto that After the Burial tour, I believe it was one of your earlier bigger tours as a band.
That was one of Invent's first like bigger ones. Yeah,
you had put out the first record with Tragic Hero, but not much. I don't think you had had the second one out yet. We're thinking, no, 2016 Still World.
I don't think it was out.
I don't think it was out. I think this was 15.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's one of the things that people would be most curious with the band is your time period with Ben English.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who got to like hang out with Ben, spend some time with him on that tour, see how you guys all interacted, seemed like it was a very positive relationship that you guys all had, and that he was just kind of ready to make a life change, more or less. How would you describe, I guess, the change with you guys and Ben?
Yeah, I mean, he had some internal stuff he was going through at like the time of our split, and like it kind of just seemed like mutually best for everyone that it was like, it was hard for him to sort of like keep the band as like a priority and a focus, and we were just like, you know, like if, you know, that's totally fair. You know, we can just kind of like part ways, and then
yeah, because for that. You guys, you were all, you know, as in you, Caleb, and Keaton, you guys were very like at this point, like this is what we're doing and pursuing. So like, if you're not gonna go full throttle with us, we need to make some changes, kind of thing.
Yeah, and like we were super like close, and we're still friends with Ben, but like we were super tight knit, and like yeah, we were like, because of that closeness, it was a really hard transition and decision to make and stuff.
Of course.
But like, ultimately, unfortunately, it's kind of like, to survive as a band, at some point you kind of have to think of it as like a business, you know? And like, that was the part that sucks, where we were just like,
ooh, Grubhub. Hey, thank you.
My Five Guys burgers and flies.
Here we go. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Yeah, for everyone. Sorry, pardon the interruption. Trey's dinner is here.
Yeah, it's like, it's so, I mean, there's so many like personal things and nuanced things that would take too long to get into detail about, and like out of privacy for Ben and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But like, yeah, just, we were super close in a super tight-knit group, and it was a really hard transition for us. And I know a lot of fans also took it really hard, because obviously, you know, you're the vocalist.
He had a cool, unique voice.
Really cool voice, really unique. Like, I still love his lyrics. I think his lyrics are super cool, and I kind of look up to the way he wrote a lot of those. And, like, yeah, it's a hard thing to follow up, and you know, it was hard for us emotionally in the band. It's like, you know, breaking up with a girlfriend.
Oh, of course.
Like, all your bandmates are your girlfriends, and, you know, so.
Oh, yes. Very much.
Yeah, so it was tough, but, yeah, we kind of made it happen, and we knew we wanted to keep going. And so, enter Marcus Vick.
Yeah, you guys, I mean, I guess there's a few comparisons that most people have made on the internet, which is the Invent North Lane thing, where like early fans of your band were like, oh man, is this going to be the same kind of thing? Guy leaves the band changes. Interesting. Which is one way to view it. And then you guys entered the step of taking in auditions from people around planet Earth. Some would say a flat Earth, but
yes,
the planet Earth. And that's how you landed on Marcus. So, how long was the process of you guys looking at auditions, going through them, seeing if there was anybody that you liked, and break that down a little bit for me?
So, I think when Ben left, we already had some studio time booked, and so Keaton and I went in the studio to start trying to record some new material. and we were still looking at the time. I remember like auditioning Marcus and getting some like vocal demos from him. One including like we actually released this at some point, but he like redid a version of Soul Sleep that has all his own lyrics and vocal melodies and patterns, and that was like one of the first things we heard from him. And that was, for me, that was the thing that sold me on it, because I was like, this sounds so good, and it proves a lot of things. One, it proves that he can write his lyrics. Two, yeah. It proves that he can like pattern everything and do his own melodies on his own. And three is he sounds really sick, and it like really fits the vibe, like meshes well with our band. And so that sold me like immediately. I think the other guys were not as quick as me to like.
Well, I could see there being some hesitancy too with him being foreign and stuff, where, because one, who wants a foreigner in their band? No. Yeah. When you're having to involve visas, travel, flight expenses, and not getting to just hang out a lot as much as you'd like to get to know each other, all of those things factor in, certainly with making a decision, which should show to all the fans and people that are into Invent like what an amazing thing it is that Marcus got the spot, because he's that great of a person and talent that despite the circumstances was able to make this happen with you guys, which is pretty awesome.
He's all of that was not hard. Like, we didn't know what we were getting into with like the visa stuff and flights and stuff, because that, you know, at the time, it's a little easier now with the state our band's in, but like that was super hard financially and logistically. And like, you know, we had like a manager change at some point during that too. And that was like, it was just hard to transition. And yeah, it was hard to get into, but like at the end of the day, it's almost not that much different from Fit, because Fit's kind of spread across the U.S. and it all has to fly in for rehearsal. So it's just the same thing for Marcus. He just has to fly further and it costs more, which sucks, but it is what it is.
It is time for the Mid Row Mash!
What's up, Mother Tuckers? Do you want to work with your favorite artist? Looking for that epic feature so everyone will know how badass your band is? Go check out featuredx.com. We have an insane selection of singers, screamers, guitarists, bassists, drummers, graphic designers, and more. Do you want Kellen Quinn to sing on your song, or Austin Archie of Lorna Shore to write the most insane drum parts you've ever heard in your life? Go now to featuredx.com and check it out. This week's mid-roll mosh is Like the Wind by As Within, So Without. These fellas are from the Port Chester area of New York. I met a few of them over at Chris Weissman of Current and Shadow of Intense House pretty recently. They were recording with him, and I think they were working on this stuff. Lucas, their drummer, was filling in for Invent Animate on this most recent tour. He smashed it. It was sick. We got to see them play at the greatest metalcore show of all time at the Palladium. It was a magical day of breakdowns. Absolutely loved it. These guys seem to be catching a lot of steam at the moment. I've heard them mentioned on the State of the Scene podcast quite a few times. Shout out to Sam and Marcos. If you don't listen to that show, do it. It's my favorite scene podcast. Overall, this song, Like the Wind, it rips. I think you guys will enjoy it a lot. Here we go, Like the Wind by As Within, So Without.
Let it all fall. representation of who I become.
Not too bad. I think you all get used to it, and it's funny looking back on when you're younger and maybe have never really flown, or only once or twice, you think it's like a big thing, and now everyone just runs around for their jobs like that, like it's nobody's business. But maybe someday I will move to Texas. Oh, sweet Texas. We'll see.
Dan, would you move to Texas? No, he's too much of an L.A. guy, I think.
He's
He likes to catch waves.
He likes to catch the gnar. Shred the gnar, bro. Okay. Well, I go dating back to my conversation with Marcus, I think that it makes a lot of sense that you guys were able to work it out. I know that the times that I've gotten to speak with him, really enjoyed his company. And I think that regardless the way that the world works now, regardless of where you are, where you're from, the thing that should matter is talent and the willingness to pursue an opportunity. And there are so many people that are given great opportunities yet squander them. And look at the effort that this person is willing to give just to have a taste a shot. And that willingness and effort, I think, is the one thing that most people don't understand. Is everyone's always asking, man, why don't my band work out? Why doesn't my thing make it? Or blah, blah, blah. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Do you got that fire?
Do you get it?
Do you get it?
Are you this person that gets it? That is the question.
That is the conversation that Trey and I, we have. And it's an interesting thing. And for everyone listening, we'll kind of break that down for a second. So when we're talking about, do you get it? It is like a thing. And when it comes to, the first part is when you're dealing and interacting with people. Like, do you know how to just hang around people? You can, of course, make some friends and some relationships, and your presence is known and you're there, but you get it. You know how to deal with people. You know how to hang out with people. People just go, wow, I really liked having that person around me. That was a nice interaction. Who was that person I met today? They were great. That's like the first part of getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to music, the next factor is when you are consistently putting out a material. This can happen for any brand. you're putting out your material, you're putting out your merch, you've got your music videos, you're doing all this stuff, and it's not working for you. Do you notice it, and do you attempt to make some changes, or do you say that no, everybody else doesn't get it? Because in that case, generally, you are more than likely wrong, and it's you. And the next step for you, I think, is to look into the things that you deem successful that you would like to be like, and look at who the producers are, who's creating the merchandise, who's doing the music videos, all that kind of stuff. Access all of those tools. And once you've accessed all of those tools, if it still doesn't work for you, you just may not get it.
Yeah, you might not get it.
Yeah, and it is a thing, and it's a very strange, and I think that
it's probably like a nice little ball, like a, you know, like self-awareness, wisdom, experience, work ethic, social, like emotional intelligence,
yeah,
just like all rolled up into one, and that creates a person that gets it.
Yeah, and it's different for every single person. And I think that, like, for instance, with me, the one thing that I have to be, like, most aware of is my energy level. I tend to be, like, a lot to be around. I can be exasperating. I can do shit at the wrong time. I can make people uncomfortable by saying the wrong thing. And that's my means of, that's my real thing I have to check constantly. And when you think about all of those factors, and you're trying to pursue something like making music, that's all of those wrap up into one. And that's one thing that I think that all of us really always got from Trey, was Trey just gets it. And it's very easy to be around him. A lot of people would be around him. So for everyone listening, I think that was one of the big factors in the band in wanting to like pursue this consistent relationship with Trey. And one of those things that I would state that I think pushes that is, well, you filled in for Era. You've worked with Silent Planet. Your band does well. You filled in for us on guitar. Then we had you come and fill in on drums. And then eventually you joined in drums. So if all these people keep wanting this person back in their lives and keep finding a way to interact with them, that's probably a pretty good sign that they're just a great person to be around. And they probably get it. And it's really easy to be creative with them.
Yeah. And, well, I feel like it's worth saying too that I feel lucky to have been in all those positions, and I'm not sure that I would be so much of a guy that gets it if I wouldn't have said yes to everything.
True.
You know, but you know, I guess circumstantially,
yeah,
the kind of guy I am, I just,
you took opportunities.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, sometimes they're like scary too. Sometimes it's like nerve-wracking, but I just, maybe I was,
dude, that Frozen pleaser. Flame tour, I remember day one, I've talked about this on the show before too, definitely, but, and I'll have to get Matt on here to talk about this, but we're in the venue in Maryland, and I'm just like messing with my stuff, and Griner walks up and he's just like, hey, I'm Matt Griner. Nice to meet you.
It's like, oh, I know.
And I'm just like, you got dead. You ain't got to tell me who you are. I knew you. You know, and oh, man. Those kind of interactions were a lot at first. Like, got me really overwhelmed and nervous. But I think eventually, over time, and it is good to have some imposter syndrome, because I think it keeps you level, keeps you a little humble. But at the same time, eventually you just have to have the confidence of like, hey, I think I get it. I think I'm cool to be around. I think I understand what's happening here. I think I understand the way music is moving, the culture is moving, the community is moving, all of these things, because no one ever wants to get stuck and say, well, this is just how I am and who I am, and I'm unwilling to grow with the times. That's not a very tasty way to go about
Yucky.
It. So I think that leads us to kind of where COVID happens. You had already filled in for the band playing guitar before, because before Daniel joined the band, the two of them had kind of taken different tours, and both, as everyone knows, were respectively in their own bands. And Trey was like, I want to do my thing. I'm not really wanting to play guitar. Dan was like, I want to come shred the gnar with the band. So, lo and behold, about 2.5 years later, or I guess two, from when you originally played with us on that Prada tour.
Yeah, 2018. That was 2018, so.
So I guess, yeah. That was 2.5. Jared decides, throughout the COVID period, he had been playing drums with Co Wetzel, and decided that he was going to move on with that first person. The only person that we pursued for the job was you, and it was definitely our initial thought. We were like, okay, we need a fill-in. Trey's got to be the guy. When we first called you and asked you to fill in for those couple shows, did you think that it was gonna that this was gonna happen?
No. And I thought about that earlier when you said, you know, like if you would have thought all those years back when we met that I would be the drummer, you'd be like, oh, that's really weird. But like even then, like in, I guess, you know, October of 2021,
yeah,
just like a few months ago, I didn't know I was gonna be playing drums for Fit for a King. So yeah, it was weird. It was a really fast, it came on really fast in a fast transition,
which I'm sure was a bit shocking, like, at first, because your Invents had such like exciting fun stuff going on behind the scenes throughout COVID with signing to Unified and working with that team, having that announcement, me blowing that announcement on this podcast.
Yeah.
And so that must have been a lot to think about with having to choose between, like, well, I've got my thing, it's already kind of moving now, I've gotten over these hurdles of a new vocalist and signing to a new label and all this kind of shit.
Yeah, it's been real busy. Trying to, you know, juggle both bands, because since then I've had gone to the studio with both bands.
You've made two albums since then.
Ton of writing, touring, so it's been super hectic. I've barely been home, but it was a fast thing, but it kind of just felt like, in the same way that you guys. That you were saying earlier, that, you know, maybe if this guy keeps coming back around and these people want him around, then that's kind of the guy to look for. Kind of in the same way, it was like, this band keeps kind of coming back to me, asking me, you know, to, like, and I guess with full disclosure, you guys had asked me to join on guitar previously, and I was, like, not really down because of the stage Invent was at and what was going on. But yeah, it was the same thing where I was like, maybe I'm like kind of stupid if I don't say yes, because I keep getting asked, and maybe it's kind of a sign or something. Not to.
Well, I guess with us being like religious dudes, that's definitely sometimes you have the like, well, is it, you know, is it God's way? Is it faith? Is it, you know, a sign? Is it Lord Xenu telling me what to do? That happens at times, but
which does. I mean, yeah, that did play a role, because it's like on paper, it just looked like. Yeah, you should do this, but there's so much emotionality tied in, you know, and
especially when it's your baby,
right? And
yeah,
and Vince, my baby, and you know, put so much heart and stock into that band and seeing it grow and succeed, and I still do. And so it was hard to, I had to relearn how to think about my band and my identity is another identity thing too.
You know,
where it's like, how much of myself is like, I am the drummer of Invent Animate. Like, is that my whole life, or can I do more things? You know, like, it doesn't mean I'm not that, but can I do more things and still be happy and still feel fulfilled? You know?
Oh yeah.
And that was kind of the question I had to wrestle with.
So that's such an interesting thing, because I definitely, during the pandemic, it was fun to add new things to my list, like having this show or Featured X, I guess, was like my big it was definitely my big accomplishment of the COVID time period, and getting to like go through all of those experiences of like creating a business, selling a business, being a founder, continuing on with it, now working with a new company, like all this kind of shit, where I was like, man, I hardly passed high school. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And it definitely is nerve-wracking. And I hope that like with time, and I feel like you definitely have been able to find like a comfortable place here, being able to like identify as the drummer of Fit for a King. And luckily, I feel like the years of you being in and out of the camp, trying out, or not trying out, like filling in, stuff like that, kind of helps to like, it's not like you just been around us for like a couple months and jumped in the camp. We've been friends a long time.
It makes it a lot easier. It felt pretty gradual, and it didn't like, you know, by the time I joined, it wasn't just like, hey, nice to meet you guys. Now I can really get to know you. It's like I already really knew you guys.
Yeah.
You know, was like close to you guys, so.
And I think that was the other big factor when I know when the announcements happen and stuff, of course, like everybody starts getting text messages about like this person or that person or who could want to try out or whatever. And like all that stuff is really cool because there's so much talent on this earth. So many amazing drummers. Like some of them, there was that one that we all started making jokes about just because it was so fucking cool. Where it was like, wait, this person hit us up? Wow, that's crazy. But on top of talent, just
wait,
the,
I can't.
Yellow Card.
Oh yeah. That was sick.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, that was super fucking cool. It would have been awesome. But it's one of those things that like, you have to think about so much more than talent with a business and like a band, because a band is a business where you want to bring in someone that you can cohabitate with, but also like operate this business and take it to the next level with. And that was the thing that, you know, really was the monster deciding factor for us, which was just being around you, knowing your character, where you're at in life, where you're going in life. It was a no-brainer where it was like, well, if we can get this person, this is the person that makes us feel, I think, the most fulfilled and the most like comfortable moving forward. And that was such a massive part. So we're super thankful to have you and to be able to like know that there's that confidence in you as a person.
Because you guys are really fit is a very business savvy band. And everyone's aware of, like, you know, what things are wise and unwise to do and things like that. Very plugged into the economy of metalcore, so to speak.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think you guys are also very emotionally, like, aware. And you guys only feel good when everything's good. Like...
Yeah.
And it I think it has a lot to do with like your performance and how you're feeling on tour and, you know, like it, you know, other things come into play, like work life balance, home and home work balance. And
yeah.
Like, I don't know. So I think like that's just super what I'm used to with Invent is just that camaraderie and brotherhood. And you guys have that too. And I think that's why I felt comfortable joining, because I couldn't.
Good communication skills, I'd say. Yeah. And that's one thing that Ryan and I were talking about with you the other day, where like we were all discussing something at dinner. And when we split up, like Ryan and I were just talking, we were like, man, like it's really awesome, like what a great communicator Trey is and how he can articulate like something that he's thinking and feeling about towards us. And in order for us to like make a positive like progressive movement within the camp as a unit, and it's definitely a skill that, you know, you guys have. And I'm glad to see that, like, or honored that you're taking that chunk from Invent and like bringing it with us too, because it's definitely something that you guys have like amassed like a skill of.
Yeah, it's yeah, and a lot of it comes from honestly just being so close that we're like, we will fight about stuff, but it's in a brotherly way where it's,
of course,
you know, like you kind of come out with something productive on the other end. It's not just like bickering and, you know, like,
yeah,
we fight about like actually important things and like love each other more for it. So, you know, it can go the other way where it's just like you just fight and then you're not friends. And that's never been the case with Invent. And so I think we all just learned how to like understand each other and become better communicators because of it. And like, if anything will put you to the test, it's like living in a van with people, you know.
So, oh, 100%.
So I think it is a skill, like you said.
Yeah. No, but very cool to see. And like, we're just really happy to have you in our camp and be able to like make these changes. And, you know, I think when stuff like this happens, a lot of people are, they want to like stick their nose in a little bit and know, like, is there beef? Is there drama? Is there all this stuff? And from our perspective, I can certainly say that there isn't. And I would only hope that Caleb doesn't want to beat me up. But we're very lucky, and it's been a really nice transition coming out of this whole COVID period, being able to be around you, get to know you even better, see these stages of life you're in, like getting engaged and all this shit. Like, I think moving forward, we all have a common goal on top of trying to create success with the band, but also just trying to like live a fulfilled, happy life. Like, after being miserable for 2 years, which for me, that at least, like, I love my wife, I love my family, love being around them, but without the performance, without the band, I certainly wasn't ready to give that up. So now,
yeah,
being back in this position, the band's doing well, we're all here together, and we have this new person in our camp that does bring a fresh new perspective. It's been a really healthy, nice perspective that you've added to the camp, and I think that all of us would agree in just saying that we're very thankful to have you here. So
thank you,
appreciate you doing it, bud.
Yeah, I think it's been healthy for me too, like even little things, like because you guys are all married. I think I used to be a little more self-centered about what I was doing and just like on tour and stuff, and not really like, I would just kind of go throughout the day, and there's so much going on at tour.
Oh yeah,
there's always someone to talk to or someone to hang out with or whatever, so like it's easy to just get caught up in what you're doing and not think about like who you have at home like missing you and stuff. Oh, like, yeah. That and I think touring with you guys has made me better at like balancing that and learning how to be present in both places as much as I can.
Yeah. I was really bad at that at first, where, you know, Danielle just had to be straight up like, yo, you are being real shit at like calling and FaceTiming, and like, I know you get distracted and you're having fun, but like, we gotta work on that. And that, was very helpful for me, and it was something that I started to just really consciously think about at first, and now I don't have to think about it. Now it's just like part of my day.
Yeah, because you guys do spend so much like intentional time on the phone and whatever with your partners, it feels like it like gives me permission to, which like, for, you know, whatever psychological reason.
No, I totally get that, because the problem is you get so distracted by everyone around that it's always like, oh well, I don't want to tell this guy, I don't want to hang out with him or talk to him, like, because I got to go call my wife. But the reality is that talking to our partners is so much more important than whatever conversation was happening at that moment.
Yeah.
Because when it's the silly saying of happy wife, but if you're not doing a good job at like communicating or making them feel like they're a part of what we're doing out here, it's going to be rough. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have had, like I said, my times where I was bad at it, but I'm always trying to do more or like be better with it. It's pretty sick. Like, it's nice having a partner that will like just tell you like, hey, like, you know, we gotta do this a little bit better, a little bit more. But having everybody on the same page, the whole camp, helps a lot. It certainly makes it where it doesn't feel like, you said, like you have to dip away from the group or from anybody where you've been granted permission. Oh, it's okay, Kirby, you can come up. We're almost done here anyway, but yeah, now we're just talking about our wives.
Wife.
My wife.
My wife.
But yeah, she was great. I love my wife. I'm glad that she tells me when I'm bad at communicating.
Yeah, my soon-to-be wife, I also love her, and she does not hesitate to tell me when I'm sucking. She's a little bit of a firecracker.
I like it. I like it like that. But I think with... You have to think about... And this is a sad thing to think about, but how many things that we miss out on while being on the road and all the people in our lives, like our partners, you know, parents, any relatives that are like close to you, friends that are close to you. It's really nice that they also continue to make an effort to stay close with us despite how often we choose to leave, because it is us that separates from everyone else.
Yeah.
And you know, that was the other thing, that like going back on time we have, you know, home or all this kind of stuff, man, I'm trying to soak up as much as I can, spend as much time as I can with people that I love.
Yeah, I really like being home now, like
way more than I used to, for sure.
Yeah, I love being on tour, but I also love being at home. I used to not like being home.
Yeah, I would say they're equal for me now. Or like, see, that almost makes me feel bad, where if I said they're equal, my wife would be mad at me. But she probably wouldn't, and I'm just thinking about this in my head. But I would say they both make me so exceptionally happy.
Yeah, they're just, it's like...
They're just different.
They're just different slices of life that you have to have both.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to have the work, like the productivity.
And you want to feel fulfilled. Like, yeah. You know, if I didn't have a job that made me feel like I'm like doing a good job providing and like making our life comfortable, then I wouldn't be as good of a partner at home.
And the easier way to put it is that, I mean, I feel like if this was your whole life, you would be equally, maybe, arguably, maybe like more empty, because you would have no intimacy. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really weird.
And not, I don't mean it just...
No, just sexually. Yeah. Only sexually. Because everybody loves sex. Sex is fucking cool, man. I love to have sex. I want to get sex. I want to do sex. I want to give sex. I want to be sexy all the time. And if you want to see me be sexy, come out on the Dark Path fucking tour and see me in a sleeveless getting sexy and sweaty up on stage with all my fucking buds.
Yeah, and you totally miss out on all that. And I don't know. Sometimes you just, you know, sometimes you just want to talk to your freaking partner and just tell them about your day or listen about their day, and it's just, it's nice, you know.
Big facts.
Those are the small things that make life feel
all
good.
All the small things. That's good stuff.
I know.
Well, Trey, Alphonsus, Slyus, Travis, the fourth, because you're not the third, because if you were the fourth, then we'd call you Quad.
Yeah, I am the third.
You are the third, and I know. Trey. I wonder how many people, like, have friends that they call Trey, but don't realize that that's not their name.
Yeah, Trey is pretty... usually when someone's called Trey, it means they are the third in their family. Oh, yeah.
And I had a friend named Trey in high school, and his name was Gerald Adelbert.
Adelbert.
Yeah, I won't give you the last name because I'm not trying to get everybody trying to fucking Google this dude, but yeah, Gerald Adelbert.
Oh, they'll find him.
They probably will. It was a pretty good name, though.
They'll find Adelbert.
Yeah, Adelbert. I'm going to get you Adelbert. I'm going to see. Hey, me and Adelbert, we used to listen to all the Shai Hulud in my car on the way to school. It was fantastic. But yeah, that's all I really got for you today.
Do you have anything to plug? Do I have anything to plug?
Do you have anything to plug?
I don't think I have anything right now.
Everyone knows you got that Invent signed to Unified.
Yeah, Invent's on Unified now, and
we'll get new stuff eventually.
Yeah, there's stuff being worked on. We're like wrapping up like the album, so you know, as you guys probably know right now, that takes a while, especially with the vinyl stuff going on. Yes. So that'll be a little bit, but there is new stuff coming that is cool. I think Marcus sounds his best ever. I think the band is the lowest tuned ever, and it's pretty cool.
I will tell you, one of those songs has been stuck in my head, and I remember the melody of it.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's what I was going to say earlier with it. As you know, as much of our identity has been a progressive metalcore kind of genty band, some of the stuff is surprisingly, like, the best word I can use for it is poppy, and I know that will scare people.
But it's not bad poppy. It's like if you were poppy but tuned in drop fart.
Yeah, it's like if, you know, if it's like if you just have a good catchy melody, but then you hear drop D sharp zero after that.
Yeah, and it's not even like issuesy drop tune catchy.
No, it's not like R&B. It's cool. It's just a thing. It's
just catchy. You'll just like it. You'll like it because it's good. So anything else? Anything else that you got to plug coming up? I mean, we are out here on the Dark Path tour. Trey's playing drums. He's in the band O'Fish now. We have VIPs. You can come hear us do an acoustic set.
Yeah.
And if you aren't a coward, you might hear us playing a song over the PA.
And if you ever have, I'll plug this for you. If you ever, you know, if you're the kind of person that cares, Tuck likes Pokemon cards and Magic cards. He'll take all of them all day.
Oh, I will take
Kirby. Kirby also likes Magic cards. I tried to play for a little bit, but I think I like video games more.
You've been just lost in Elden Ring.
I've been smashing Elden Ring. So if anyone wants to bring me PS5 games, you can do that.
No, the person that made us the Elden Ring drawing. That was great. Yeah,
someone drew us an Elden Ring.
Hey, never make a cap. If someone wants to bring you a PS5 game, they can.
Oh, I mean, you totally can.
We'll trade you some merch for it or something. That's true. You can have something for it.
And if you ever want to bring me candy or something, I like Bunch of Crunches, the Nestle Bunch of Crunch, and Dr. Pepper. And that's all I have to plug, I think.
I think that's it. But Trey, I hope you had a good time getting tucked, buddy. Thanks for being on the show.
I got tucked. Good job.
Yeah.
All right, that was the show. Thank you, Trey, for being the sweetest, most bestest guy on earth and for being on the show. Love you. You're great. Can't wait to come see you get married soon. It's going to be really cool. I feel very complete after this most recent tour. I know I've been a little back and forth with doing the show, but we're on, baby. Here we go. We're strapping in. It's going to be great. But yeah, tour was great. Everyone rocked. Thanks for coming to see a show. Next week, we got Benny Scholl of The Void coming on. It's going to be awesome. I love you all. And as always, get drunk! Yeah!
what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.